friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Hey. So tonight's kind of a special night.
Yay!
Because we have a special guest, which ironically, we just did The Vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. But we recorded it in February.
No, June.
Yeah.
Graduation.
Yeah. Why would I say February?
I don't know, because it was a special month.
Because you have a short memory?
Probably the latter.
And that was such a fun listen.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was like, for October, because October has 5 Wednesdays, so we reviewed 2 books, and I was like, it's kind of a little bit on the gruesome side.
It's actually gruesome, quite perfect.
Erotic. Yeah. All of the above, it was a lot.
I don't know. It didn't
It was
have
a really
it.
Good read, though.
Like, yeah.
One that I will never forget.
Absolutely. You know what? I actually recommended to another book club that I'm in.
Yeah.
Have they read it yet?
No. Tuesday we review it.
That would be interesting.
Yes, I'm like,
so you did read it then?
Well, yeah, I read it. Well, no, I suggested. But there's another book that I have to read still for that book club. We're reading 2 books. They're both based out of Korea. And so I haven't read the other one. It's, I can't remember what it's called, but yeah, but I was just like, ooh, it's really neat. So I was like, I have one for this too.
I got something special for you.
I know.
So anyway, my mom Susan is joining us again.
Yay, we love Susan.
She
did not pick this book out.
No. She had to listen to it with me. We were painting the inside of my house like over 2 or 3 days. And so we listened to it every night. It was really funny to listen to it with my mom.
Erotica with mom.
Yeah.
I mean, because it kind of was. Yeah.
Everyone's dream.
I would die.
It was fun.
I would have to explain so much to my mom.
You guys remember
Well,
the
guess
opponent.
What? She explained something to me.
What did she explain?
Oh, yeah.
Where are we going to get to that?
We'll get to that. Okay. But as we were painting, it was really quiet. We'd look at each other over some, you know, when there's a really steamy scene. And we'd look at each other and we just bust out laughing because it was really erotic and
unrelatable.
Because it's a, you know, it's with a vampire and a were.
Well, so we don't know the anatomy of these creatures entirely, but they explain it. So we'll get into that.
Yeah. Like, I was just like, huh.
Yeah.
Did not know that. So you're going to have to educate me, Susan, because,
Well, yeah, we'll get there.
I only have one thing that I can educate you about. I don't know. There are things I don't know either.
So I watched The Atonement with my mom, I don't know, 15 years ago. You guys remember that movie? The Atonement. Keira Knightley. They have wall sex. They have, like, love letters that they send to each other. And I remember explaining to my mom a lot of terms.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, we're not doing this again. This is embarrassing for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I loved teasing my kids when they were smaller. And you know, when kids go through that little phase where they hear the number 69 and then they use it in everything. And I just would going, what's special about 69, kids? Oh, what's going on?
You know, I
totally did that to them. I'm like, if you're going to say...
I did that with MILF.
What's a MILF? What's that?
I don't understand.
Well, you're a MILF.
You're a total MILF.
I can see why they would be saying it all the time.
I don't think it was in regards to me. It was with
Yes,
coworker.
It was. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But you are a MILF, too.
I'm surrounded.
I have to say, so are you, Courtney. You're a honey patati.
No. Anyway.
All you MILFy people out there.
What did you, so you have a, what would you, what
oh,
would
well,
you do?
Oh, well, here's the thing. What would you do if your dad forced you to marry your longstanding enemy to keep the peace? Because that's exactly what happens in The Bride by Ali Hazelwood.
Look at that transition.
Well, Courtney just threw it at me. Good. So I was like, well, what would you do? And it got me thinking, like, well, the first thing I thought when I was like, the premise of this happening is I thought of like, this happened in history.
So many times.
Mm-hmm. Mostly in Europe, they like to do it.
Yeah.
Royalty likes to do it.
Yeah, royalty. Yeah. And in this book, I mean, the vampires were the royalty. Yeah.
Like, the alpha wolves and the top tier vampires.
Well, and they were like an aristocracy.
Yeah, they're the royalty of their...
They were the royalty of vampires, and that's...
Of their species.
So this, like the world in The Bride, it consists of vampires, weres, not werewolves, they call them weres,
and humans. So three species, mm-hmm. and I gather each species has a domain.
Mm-hmm. So they do. They live in separate, like mm-hmm. they're divided by a river.
Yep.
The vampires and the weres, because they're like sworn enemies.
Yep.
And then the humans are kind of like on some other end.
And well, the weres are physically the most powerful. Humans are more powerful in that they produce offspring, a lot. So there's strength in numbers.
Like rabbits.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the vampires don't have as many.
They have a hard time populating.
So they're kind of the weaker of the...
Yes, because they can't maintain their population. And so because of that, then, like, monogamy is not a thing. Like, they just screw whoever they can to make children.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like,
there's no such thing as romance.
And there's really no intimacy.
Correct. No, yeah. And they're cold. You know, and even when they describe... yes, well, as vampires. They describe where the vampires live. It's very sterile, cold.
Wares, it's
more organic in nature, mm-hmm. warm. Humans are just, we know
they
what
live
humans
in the
are.
Trees.
It's like, there's yeah. not, I don't know if we really got a your idea what humans, I guess we can just visualize.
They're just
what
like
humans
us.
Are. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have houses.
Yeah.
They have electricity. So do the vampires. So do the wares. But. Yeah, think mountain cabins, wares, think vampires. Yeah, New York City maybe.
Yeah.
And then the humans live in...
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So the story starts with the protagonists, Misery Lark and Lowell Moreland. They are having to get married because there's a truce that needs to happen between the weres and the vampires.
And it happens because the humans, like, they have a new mayor. And that mayor, for the longest time, they'd had kind of a doofus mayor running the show. And he was totally cool, like, trading kids.
Yeah, with the vampires.
To keep the collateral.
So, and usually
they were really hostages.
The collateral was usually a young, like, starts at 8. Mm-hmm. They're
for 10 years.
Moved into a different culture with, like, the humans, weres, and vampires.
They all trade children.
And it's usually children of the apples.
The apples? What? The assholes?
The assholes. It's usually, actually, that would be right.
That's probably accurate.
The alphas.
Which can be assholes, too. Yes. The assholes, basically, amongst the
that
apples.
The assholes and apples of the world.
Alphas and, like, the aristocracy. I can't say that word. Aristocracy.
Oh, well, gosh,
that was twisty on the tongue. And, like, the high ranking whatever human people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they
the governors and whoever.
And the idea is, like, if you guys try to make a move against us, we'll kill your kid. So they don't want to do that.
No. So the truce stands.
Yeah.
So
until they elect, the governor elect says, I'm done. I'm not sending my kids into enemy territory.
Yeah. Yeah. The new governor of humans is interested in governing a different way. And so it scares the vampires mostly,
the
I would think. Yeah.
Yes.
And the old mayor was kind of getting a lot on the side from the head vampire. So the vampires are losing not just this exchange to keep the peace, but they're also losing
Yeah.
Kind of their alliance.
And yes. There's more animosity between the werewolves and the vampires. Yeah. Like, humans are seem to be sort of in the middle, like,
yeah,
always.
Yeah, because we're laid they back as, oh, as sure. humans. Yeah. We're so laid back.
They're fickle. That's how the vampires view humans, like fickle little things that just make lots of babies.
Yeah.
So the alpha, Lo, is and Misery are going to get married to join the weres and the vampires. Misery was a, when she was 8 years old, she became a...
Yeah, no, I don't know the word of.
Hey. Exchange.
Concubine.
Yeah,
no. Oh my God.
What is it called there?
A collateral.
Collateral.
She's a collateral, and she's a collateral for the humans. She's really unhappy when she's a child. So her father brings in an orphan girl her own age to live
with
her.
Not her father, her foster family, while she's a collateral, brings in.
Oh, yeah. But I guess we don't know. Her real father actually was the one who implemented that.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. But we don't know that. We think at this point that it's the foster family. Serena and Misery grow up being basically sisters and best friends.
Yes.
So when they're older, Serena is a journalist and she's working on something, disappears, and Misery is very worried about her, doesn't know where she is, but finds her planner and sees that she has a scheduled date to meet up with Lo Moreland. So when she finds out, when her Misery's father says, I'd like you to marry the alpha of his pack is the I don't know. He's the alpha of his pack.
Just the
whatever.
Alpha dude.
Yeah.
We don't care.
He's the alpha of the wares.
Is there ever a werewolf story where the hookup does not happen between the alpha?
Well, no. Why would it?
We want the alpha's connection. Don't you know what that's about?
Yes. The alpha is, you know, the it guy.
Okay. So
he has everything.
When
he's
Brad
perfect.
And I go out, his favorite thing is to point out the alpha. Like, we'll go into the bar. And he'll immediately be like, that's the alpha right there. Like, he can pick them out immediately.
Is he right
so
on?
Amazing.
Oh, yes, he's right.
Oh, yeah. Brad, yeah. Brad is...
He's got alpha aura. He knows.
It's not even that. Brad, really, honestly, like, he can profile anyone. He's insane. No, he's been like this forever. Yeah. Like, he can never have met you before in his entire life. And her husband. Well, seriously, like, if you're playing a game with him, he'll, like, know exactly which card to slip you that you will think is funny in this issue. He is so insane. You are never going to win apples to apples or cards against humanity if Brad is playing.
Brad is in the room.
Yeah. Yes. And he doesn't even know if you know the people intimately and have 17,000 personal jokes, he will still kick your ass.
He does.
That is a skill.
It's hard to be. I know. Yeah. It's great. I'm like, who's the alpha tonight? It's kind of fun.
Do you guys,
is it going to be you, Brad? Are you going to be my alpha?
I don't know. Can you have two alphas in a relationship?
Sure you
I don't
can.
Know.
I like to play this game every once in a while.
You can let him be alpha for the night. So you're like, Brad, yeah. You can be my alpha tonight. Thanks.
Every once in a while, I'll make Bob play backstory with me. It's when you go into, when you're like, you're at a restaurant and you're just waiting forever for your food or whatever like that. And you look around at the people around you and you give them backstories.
I love that. That's
like,
so fun.
Like, you know, you're like, okay, that couple over there. I mean, you just make up their backstory. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
It's pretty fun.
So Misery and Lo haven't met before. So you guys distracted me.
I didn't even have to
respond. So Misery is, her father says, you need to marry the alpha so that we can have this truce with the wares. And when she finds out it's Lo, who was in Serena's calendar,
the last
she's like
person.
She says to herself, I need to do this so I can get an in and find my friend Serena.
Yes.
So I'm gonna get in there, I'm gonna get in the wolf pack, and I'm gonna start investigating and find out what happened to my friend.
That's dedication. I mean, like, yeah, I'll marry this dude which has a high death risk in order to
yeah, but she doesn't have anybody in the world.
I know,
like,
I know.
Her parents
totally.
Didn't care about her.
No.
She really didn't have much of a relationship with her brother. They do care about each other to some degree, but like they weren't raised together.
No.
Like, she was forced to live.
Yes, her twin brother Owen.
Yeah.
I do too. Owens are good people.
They are good.
They are. Literally.
Well, so Owen is lauded to take over Misery's father's position, which is a high-ranking diplomatic in the vampire world. So she goes into this. She's never met Lo, and first time she sees him, she's walking down the aisle. I am going to interject for just a second and say that everyone's on edge because last marriage between a were and a vampire to do this exact same thing, to bring the
peace
between, you know, the
alliances
the wares,
or whatever. It was a bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath, and it was
Game of Thrones Red Wedding.
The Aster. It was, you know, the last time a wedding between a were and a vampire ended in bloodshed, and vampires bleed purple, and wares bleed green. And there was green and blood all over the place.
Mardi Gras.
I was going to say Christmas, but that's right. That's green and red.
Green and red. Wares and humans.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we've got humans, like staff members, and that we've got wares on one side and not very many vampires because, she didn't have a lot of friends. She didn't really live amongst vampires.
Where there's not very many of them either. She sees Lo. He sees her.
But before this, she had her stylist or whoever they were, totally do her.
Oh, yeah, the human.
And he put some things on her pulse points.
Green
stuff. I think it was, I think it might have been werewolf or blood or something. Because, he could smell her scent. And he was
So she thinks he looks at her in contempt.
Yes.
But he's looking at her with lust.
And we find out later.
We don't know this at first until later, but he really is looking at her.
Well, he's been drawing pictures of her for a while in his life. He's had visions of her.
Yes. They're slotted to be mates. They're destined to be mates, I should say.
What is it called with the... Bonded mate.
I know. So I loved this concept. So blah 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 alliance blah blah blah. Okay, I loved this concept.
Okay,
so the concept of a mate. It's like, you know how we talk about love at first sight.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's total bullshit. I'm trying to get used to the idea, but with this, it's like this is a real thing, where it's like. Immediately is drawn to them, every cell of their body. They love the way they look and smell and everything about them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't get them out of their heads. But it's not necessarily a reciprocal thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, in this world.
Yeah, there are werewolves where one person is
mated,
and they're married, maybe. But their spouse is not their mate. So they're not mated.
Crazy.
But then there's some that are both mated together, which is a beautiful thing.
Well, and they talk about it being sad if it's a one-way street.
Can you imagine living a life of no one, them not being able to reciprocate that same level of love,
it would be devastating because you would be. I mean,
I think it'd be almost
let's
worse.
Say the scenario is you find your mate, Lisa, mm-hmm. you're my mate, but you have Brad as your mate,
the triangle,
then it would be,
and it was you and his mate.
And everybody loves
me. Holy moly, we could have a triangle.
I would be getting so much action. It would be like Kissing Club. So much. I feel like everyone should be my mate.
They should. You are a perfect mate.
No, that was I was just floored. I was that would be the worst thing in the whole entire world. I would rather be married to someone where no one was a mate.
Yeah, because
it would be such an imbalance.
Yeah, the last book we read, in October last year was, I can't remember, but it was a werewolf book.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I can't remember. I feel bad. I can't remember the name.
Luna Mart.
They, in that world, werewolves, they each other. It's not one or the other. They both have that connection and bond.
In most werewolf love books, they both have it. I've never seen one where one had it and the other one didn't.
Except for this
book.
Except for this book, maybe. I don't know. I don't have my werelore down yet. Don't know enough about them.
Well, I think it changes in every book. So you have to be open-minded. You have to be like willing to, you know.
As I'm reading this book, I'm also reading another book. And this is the one I'm really excited to interview this author.
Okay.
It's coming up.
Okay.
But like she has a formula for love and compatibility. And it did make me think of this because she makes a point that like, okay, if your numbers are this, they're matched. They may not be high numbers, but you're well matched. Same goes for the reverse. You can have high numbers here and you're well matched. But when there's a discord between the numbers, like a big, that's where you get a lot of conflict. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's such an interesting concept. But the way she explains it, you're like, I see that all over.
It's now all math. Like, it's like mathematical equation.
It's just such What's a fascinating really concept. Ridiculous.
I do that already.
You do that already? I know. That's why I'm like, this is your book. You are freaking going to love it.
I know. I'm super excited.
Anyway, I can't wait to talk about it.
Anyways. Although I really love the last author that we interviewed too, because I'm like, I wish I would have had her book.
When you were younger.
When I was younger. I'm like.
Yeah. The things we wish we knew in hindsight.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, oh well.
But yes, unrequited love is something that I feel like in all reality. As a human being, it can last a lifetime.
Do you think that it can almost become more potent because it never was actually...
Yes. Your imagination is more potent than reality by far.
So one of my favorite clients today, been doing he and his wife's hair for years. And they've been married for like 60 years.
Aww.
They're so sweet. But
he's been doing his wife's hair?
No, I do both of their hair.
Oh, okay. I was like, that's adorable.
He actually has been styling her hair because she has dementia. So she's like, you know, she needs a lot of help these days. Yeah. And he styles her hair for her. And like,
oh,
you know,
what a sweetie.
He is one of the best humans ever because he just absolutely takes care of his wife. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he posed a question to me today, which was interesting. He said, do you think, I mean, this is somebody who's been with his wife for 65 years. And he said, you know, do you think that humans are meant to be monogamous? I said, I thought about it for a minute and I think, you know, it's maybe not so much monogamy as work. Because I feel like if you are in a relationship, it takes work to be with that one person. I mean, yeah, your eyes can go drift in other directions.
You can appreciate all the beautiful things around you.
Absolutely.
But it takes work to appreciate the one person that you've been with for 65 years.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And actually appreciate and understand how that relationship of having somebody who's been in your life that long, you know, rather than being annoyed with all the things that might annoy you, like appreciating it goes, it's a two-way street though.
It's like if you have this much water in your watering can, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you're watering all of the yards, they're all going to die. But if you spend all of your water on this one yard, it's going to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's monogamy.
Absolutely. Yes. No, I think so. But it's a two-way street. You know, both people have to put in the time and work for it to work. So, yeah, I believe in monogamy. But it's work. It's time. And sometimes, a lot of the time, it's hard. But in the long run, it's fulfilling and wonderful at the same time. Anyway, Misery and Lo get married. Yes. And it's rocky times because they're on edge. You yes. know, it's two different species coming mm-hmm. together. And Misery is in a completely new space.
They don't know about each other's anatomy either.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Yeah, they don't know anything about it.
We'll get
to that. But at first, like, it's not even that they think that there's going to be any sort of...
No, they don't. Well, I mean, I think, we find out that Lo is highly aroused by Misery at all times. But
she always looks at it like he's disgusted by me.
Yeah.
Yes.
But she doesn't know. Her personality.
I think a lot of it.
Because that's like, you know.
She distanced herself. Yeah, she distanced herself.
Yeah.
She distances herself from other people. Anyone except for Serena is the only person, and probably her twin brother, the only people she's close with. So she's in the compact. I love the words I'm choosing this evening. She's, you know, she's kind of alone, and this little human keeps, or no, sorry. Where this little where keeps showing up in her room. She's locked the door and stuff, but this little 6-year-old where keeps coming around and bugging her. But ultimately, she really likes it. And this little, her name's Anna. She's Lo's sister.
And half-sister?
Yeah. Half-sister. Yep. And she is charming and, you know, Misery pretends she doesn't like it and like her, but she ultimately loves it.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. She becomes, okay, this is my, I'm overseeing the well-being of this child. Mm-hmm. And this is
very protective.
Oh, so protective. Yeah.
She pretends she isn't. Like she's just doing it because she happened to be around when she's kidnapped or almost kidnapped.
Yeah,
exactly.
She even risks going out into the sun.
Yes, she does. Oh, yeah. And she gets burned.
Yeah, they burn in the sun.
Yeah. So she establishes this one bond. Also, the other person she kind of establishes a relationship is with Mick, who is her little jailer bodyguard or whatever you call him. He oversees her safety and also makes sure that she doesn't go where she's not supposed to go.
Because she's really in high risk.
She's taking some risks too because she's like trying to figure out what's up with her sister. Yeah. And so she's like breaking into things. We left out that she's an incredible hacker.
Yeah. Well, like in the human world. So she decides after being raised in the human world that she wants to live there all the time. So she kind of has to pretend she's a human. She like shaves her teeth down so she gets like a job in the computer world because she can work nights. You know, she's got like this little
and it's okay for her to have lore around her because she's so good at what she does.
Yeah. So in the Ware compound, every time she gets a chance, she's hacking away, going into Lo's room and checking stuff out. But, you know, what she doesn't know is Lo knows because he can smell her that she's been there. And guess what?
Because those dogs.
He loves it. He loves her smell.
He wants to roll around in it.
And he does. Because I think she lays in his bed. And then he's like, tells her later, I loved getting in bed because I could smell you.
That's such a doggy thing. But I am out and about all day because I go in lots of people's homes, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone has dogs and everyone's dog has to smell you and rub on you and whatever. When I get home, my little buddy is like, who have you been with today?
Yeah, he is like slutty little me. Mama.
Yes, he thinks I'm a little dog whore. Anyway.
You know, buddy. I have to say, though, when Bob and I first started dating, man, nothing has ever smelled as good to me as Bob smelled to me. Just the way he smelled, I was like...
Because he puts lotion on religiously.
He puts lotion
on? That's what it is.
Oh my God, you guys. Like, seriously, I was joking. Like, the first time, like, so I was just flipping laundry around at his house after we started dating and stuff. Because I'm like, he left for work and I was just cleaning. I'm like, I'm washing the sheets and, you know, whatever. But I had to joke because the first time I got to the dryer, I felt like it was a Harry Potter scene. with all the dryer sheets that came out of the dryer. Mm-hmm. And it felt like it was the letters in Harry Potter.
Oh my gosh. Does he not empty the lint trap or what?
No, he empties the lint trap.
He just fills it with
lint. But he
loves the lavender vanilla one that I love.
Oh my gosh.
What is it?
It's the best dryer sheets in the world.
I never use dryer sheets.
Oh. Well, we had to stop because everyone started getting rashes because I think we use too much.
Because you guys also put the lights.
Tell me exactly what does a dryer sheet do? I've never used them.
It makes the statusness go away. Yeah.
And it decreases wrinkles.
Yes, decreases wrinkles.
Do you use them?
I used to, but I've understood that they're not very good at
environment. And there's also forever chemicals in them.
Yeah.
So you're not
firework?
Forever. Yeah, so that actually,
I thought you said firework chemicals. I'm like, really interesting.
They're one of the four top. They're one of the four top around your house things for increasing neurotoxicity. So
that's why I quit using them.
Yeah. So, but you can actually. There is a
wool things.
Yeah, they have the wool balls you can use. Yeah, and there's another thing you can do actually, but you just have to be careful with how much you do it. But there's homemade ones you can do that are kind of like a vinegar-based one, which I know sounds really
rude. Ooh, gross.
It does not make
it smells like piss.
It actually doesn't. There's a special way to do it, and you can make up some homemade kind of ones, and then you put essential oils in them, and it actually smells okay. Mm,
so, well, what is the sheet you use?
She also drinks vinegar, so I don't know.
I have a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar every day.
Valerie made me do that one time when I got my diet, remember? And I was like, I'd rather die.
Because it should be Bragg's.
Well, okay. Yeah, it was. I gave her Bragg's. No, she was acting like she was having, looking like she was having a gallbladder attack.
You know what? It was like rib stabbing pain. It was pleuritis.
Yeah. But the way you were describing it sounds like vertex. No, you need some vinegar. Gallbladder is not up in your shoulder.
Your first pain.
No.
It's your referred pain, just like
your
heart.
Have you ever had a gallbladder attack?
Your heart attack refers pain up to your face.
It does. It's true.
And your left arm.
It can do that. But actually, that's more true in men as opposed to women. Women's referred pain patterns are different on the heart attack.
That's true, but gallbladder can refer to your shoulder. Anyway.
So, misery and low are at odds with each other at first, but things start happening, like Anna's like almost kidnapped. Mm-hmm. Misery protects her. They start getting closer, and then he actually finds out that Misery is looking for her sister Serena. Mm-hmm. And that's why she confides in him and says, that's why I'm here, is because I thought you had something to do with it. So they start working together.
Yeah.
To figure out where Serena is, which lends itself to many things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to say is they also become physically attracted to each other. Well, they're already physically attracted to each other, but
he's an alpha.
This is a huge part of the
book. And she's a hottie patootie vampire.
I have to say, mm-hmm. This is a huge part of the book, which we must discuss, is the sexuality between Lo and Misery is out of this world.
Yes.
And I'm saying seriously out of this world.
Okay, so Dog Anatomy 101.
I just want to talk to you a little bit about the Red Rocket.
Okay. Oh, okay, we're going to start with the Red Rocket. Okay, good job.
I feel like I want to talk about Red Rocket.
Can we just take a moment? Okay, we got to give one to the homie. Here's some Petey paws.
Here's to Petey. My dog who died last year, a year ago almost. Yeah. I will never forget the day that I walked into the room, and for whatever reason, he was into me. And we had had his nuts removed, you know, but his
doesn't make any
little red, I was like, what is that?
This was a tiny dog, and it was half the size of him.
No. But it looks like another leg.
Courtney used to call him lipstick. Dicks out.
But I've never seen it because, like, normally the Red Rocket was somewhat, like, aerodynamic looking. Like, it could be like a rocket, like, goes through.
Sure, yes.
But this thing was, like, so engorged. It had turned into, like, a giant little sausage. Like,
and he went through a long phase
out like that. 40 minutes, and it looked painful. Like, his back was arched, and his eyes were, like, he was side-eyed. He couldn't move, and his little red rocket was just stuck. and I thought it was so funny. I took a picture. I can't find it now. You just looked at me like, you're taking a picture.
Look at me. I am in my so worst funny. Moment right now, Mom. And you're going to take a picture.
Well, it was just like, yeah, like a little lipstick too. But
somehow
overly engorged.
That happened to him a couple of times because I witnessed that. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, there was
the German shepherds around the block are like going to be totally jealous.
My little 12-pound Jack Russell.
Oh, I think I'm surprised he didn't pass out.
I know. All of his blood was in one place.
It was.
Yes. Which lends us to
the anatomy of
aware.
Mm-hmm. And not just anywhere.
Dogs and where are
consequences, I guess, than any other place.
I was really having a hard time visualizing what was happening.
All I saw was giant red rocket.
Well,
I didn't try to understand it. I was just like, okay, whatever.
Well,
now I'm intrigued.
But you saw the red rocket.
Well, so Mom and I were looking at each other like, oh, what is happening? I don't understand. Because he tells Misery, we can't have sex. And she's like, why? Yeah. Why can't we? I don't understand. And then he puts her hand at the base of his
cock.
Thank you, Valerie. Something weird happens, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. Is he turning into a wolf?
No.
What was
he was unleashing his penis sheath.
So his penis came out of his penis? Like the rocket came out of the penis.
I don't understand this.
That's all I thought.
So did he have a regular looking penis and a thing came out of it?
So once it was inside. Then it becomes the knot. And the knot is like the giant engorged red rocket.
Yeah.
But it enlarges so much that it can't come out.
Okay. It can't come back out until
So
is this like a dragonfly thing where like, okay, so it stays in so that way it can't come out.
And if it does, it would rip your guts out.
But dragonflies, the reason that you always see the dragonflies piggybacking is because
they make hearts.
The male dragonfly is in the female dragonfly, and he actually stays in her as long as he can because after he fucks her, his sperm goes up in her, and the second he gets off, another dragonfly is going to come up and fuck her. But he's going to shoot. But the other dragonfly, before when they start having sex, they clear out the sperm of the guy that was in there before.
They want to hang on.
That's why dragonflies are always piggyback riding is because the male dragonfly is staying on the girl as long as he possibly can. So that way his sperm can actually fertilize the eggs. And so that's why I was thinking that's what was happening in this situation is the red rocket. And I'm like, what is this, some sort of dragonfly bullshit where like, does he really think that his life mate is going to have another guy coming in just a second to like take over and flush out his sperm and compete?
No. Mom had to educate me a little bit.
Yeah,
you have to educate the story.
What's this whole thing that
this was
a
story that about the knot?
About the knot?
Well, I had on an occasion took some students on an interim trip to Southern Utah, and we stayed in at a ranch where there were quite a few dogs. One of the dogs was quite small and was the owner's dog. And there were other dogs, but the other dog that was involved was a bigger, almost looked kind of boxer mix, a bigger dog, quite a big bit bigger dog that was the owner's son's dog. Well, the students were out drawing and doing stuff in the outdoors, and there was this racket, this yelling, screaming that we could not believe. And here come these two dogs. The big dog is dragging the small dog because they have copulated and they're hooked together in a knot. So she was so small that like her whole butt was lifted off the ground, and they were just dragging this. He was dragging this poor female dog around.
And she is the bitch? No, what an asshole.
So we had to hose him down. So that shock of cold water allowed him to let go, but he couldn't stop it either. I mean, once they're in there, it, like you were saying, it becomes engorged and they cannot withdraw.
Wow.
So it takes some
It took Petey 40 minutes that one time.
This went on for a long time until we finally got them apart.
Oh my gosh.
And then the poor little dog got pregnant and they had to remove the puppies because
it would have killed her.
It would have killed her.
Too big.
Because it was a big dog. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It makes you wonder how some of these dog breeds have come about.
Yeah. They seem so incompatible, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, I think where dogs run wild, they don't get that different. You know, when you're in Mexico, all the dogs look kind of alike.
Well, they all look like my buddy.
But it's humans who breed them to be a certain way. And once that happens, then...
They have the repeater genes, though, and it's just so easy to manipulate them.
Yeah.
So anyway...
So now you understand what was happening, right?
Well, yes.
Why he was afraid.
For her.
What?
Yeah.
But you know what? Let me just... That's kind of ridiculous because he's not going to drag her all over the courtyard if that happens.
Well, we don't know, do we?
I mean, like, well, he is a dog.
Our vampires and werewolves had never copulated before.
But even if he's staying gorged for 40 minutes or whatever, like, okay, well, I'm sorry.
But
you're just
going to,
even if it was 2 hours, you know, even if it was the Viagra, call a doctor after 4 hours. Type of a scenario, they could still just snuggle. But like the only thing,
until he calms down a bit, or
exactly. I mean, she could just start like whispering, "My mother-in-law." What are some other things I could just add
that would ruin the moment?
Maybe they could drag themselves into a cold shower.
Yeah.
But turns out they were very compatible.
Yeah, it worked. Yeah, in the end, they finally do it, and it works.
Yeah,
I told mom, I was like, oh, this is going to be the longest sex scene ever because he's going to have a knot and they're going to be there.
Right. The only thing I can think of is how is this evolutionarily advantageous? Like, that's what I just want to go into. Like, it's
the dragonfly scenario.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. I love that you brought that.
Yeah, but like for the werewolves, though, I mean, but they have this mating bond ritual thing that you would think that because they have this mating, super over-dramatic mating bond.
Have you ever seen dogs do that?
Do dogs?
Like,
dog
they're sniffing each other's buttholes and rubbing up on each other.
They were doing that too.
He was. He didn't. I mean, but it wasn't as like he was all about it.
Sorry, I'm a total dog because once again, when Bob and I first started dating, I'm like, I could not smell that mountain enough. I'd be like, oh,
see?
I totally. I'm like, no, it wasn't even. I'm like, it was just him.
Well, you know what? Like when I was like a long time ago, I dated this guy and he was the nicest guy ever. Mm-hmm. But I felt like he smelled like rotten milk. So I couldn't do it.
Nope.
Mom was like, "What? Why? He's so nice." I'm like, "I know, but he smells like rotten milk."
How does it smell like rotten milk?
How
it was clean.
Smells?
I mean, it was nothing about him. It was just
There was this like I used to love to watch Brain Games.
It just was sour. It was like not rotten milk. It was just sour.
So
weird
smell. They have this like experiment where they would take like have some guys like work out real hard and then have their sweaty shirt and then they put in like a Ziploc bag and then they would like the girls would smell and you know they would rate like how attractive they thought they would be based on the way they smelled and it actually was like pretty darn accurate.
Here's another interesting thing.
Yes, we are very attracted to scent, even humans.
So here's another interesting
Let me backtrack just a sec. So they were attracted. Well, okay.
They would find like someone that was attracted, like the smell that they were attracted to.
Yeah.
Like, they were also like
attracted to the
I get it.
But even though they didn't know.
Yeah.
There was like that association. I
think smell is crazy. Smell is probably as important to me as looks.
So why do we grow armpit hair? Do you guys know why we do this?
Because
But it aerosolizes where your pheromones. This is where you release a lot of pheromones and it aerosolizes it so it can spread better so to attract more mates.
So here's another interesting
grow some armpit hair.
Yeah. I wouldn't
recommend that. Here's another interesting sweat study, guys.
Hey, guys.
I do that all the time.
You do that?
I'm free. I'm open to dating.
I mean, I don't wear deodorant because I'm like, I'm just putting it out there. Like, either you like this or you don't.
I like it. No, they actually did another study about sweat. And they took some people and they took them and they went and worked out at the gym for 60 minutes. And they took their sweaty clothes and they put them in Ziploc bags. And they took other people and they took them skydiving. They took them skydiving, and of course, those people were sweating too. But
it was going to be a different kind of sweat.
Fear sweat. And so here's what's amazing about humans and the way we communicate with each other in nonverbal signals. When people smelled the fear sweat, they became fearful and anxious. When they smelled the bags, those people started becoming.
Their heart rate increased.
Yes, their heart rate increased. Started getting all of the signals of picking up fear and anxiety. So we do communicate on so many levels. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's an actual study, which is kind of fun.
There's a lot to smell.
But I think that also, I'm kind of a little bit, I used to be a pahoomer about,
A pahoomer?
A pahoomer. That's my new word.
I don't even know what that is.
I never heard that word.
Because I just made it up.
Oh, I like it. That's a good one. I think we all ought to say what we think that means.
I love it. A pahoomer.
It's somebody that's very fancy and likes to go around picking out paint colors. Someone that names paint colors.
Ooh.
I could picture that being a pahoomer. Yes, I'm a pahoomer.
I think to me it's like somebody who's pretends they're posh, but they're really a fake.
Oh.
They're poshy, but they're not, but they're fake posh.
They're putting on a fake accent. What does it mean, Bella?
I was like a bah humbugger.
Okay. Oh.
You know what I mean? But kind of more like an elitist, snobby sort of.
Well, it's kind of what I'm saying, too. Yeah, it's it's poshy, but not pah humor. Okay, it's good. I like it.
Yeah, but so I mean, sappy dappy.
Okay, I need to be writing these words down for our dictionary. My perfect romance dictionary. I'm not going to remember this. I really do need to write this down.
The way Bob smells is so perfect to me. When I smell him, my entire body just calms down completely. At the same time, I'm the most relaxed and I'm the most aware and present.
Maybe he needs to wipe his sweat onto a shirt and leave it with you.
You know what's really funny is while we were dating, I would actually steal his shirts from him. And so I would take a shirt. I would take a shirt. I'm like, this is my shirt until I see you again.
I'm going to leave these words open for how we're going to.
We need to create a Boulder Gash game of,
Pahoomer and Snappy Dappy.
Bob interprets for me if you ever need help.
So anyway, back to the story.
We don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know what's going to happen. Is he not going to kill her?
Yeah, it could.
No, I think he thinks it will hurt her really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he
doesn't
want
that to happen.
Yeah.
Well, could you imagine? I mean, I bet he was probably a big boy before he became engorged.
Yeah.
So he has multiple big
levels.
And
the other thing to think about is, up until now, we don't know. He has imprinted, or what is it called, mated with someone. But we don't know who it is. But she is not the same species. And they can't imprint.
Or can they?
We don't know. But
this is all new territory.
Back to that. She thinks that she is going to be married to a man who is going to be smitten for the rest of his life with another person. And she actually really, really likes him.
So
and she thought.
I have a little thought here.
Yes.
Okay.
So a vampire, though, is pretty, their body's pretty strong, right?
Yeah.
Not in this book.
Let's say,
They kind of made them to sound pretty weak and vulnerable.
Yeah.
And
what were they weak? But they're
snap them in half.
But I think they're physically stronger than humans.
Yes.
They are mentally stronger. They can mess with your head.
Yeah. They can do that.
Power.
They can, I saw her doing the eye like the little weird like thing going round and round in the eyeball and mesmerizing
like
people.
Like a little pinwheel.
Yes, thank you. A pinwheel eyeball spin. And like then she gets information from people because they go, they're kind of mesmerized and compliant.
And she can, you can kind of make them do things. Right?
Yes.
Wait, wait, you're I'm going to practice on
okay, no one can hypnotize me. Try all you want.
Valerie's good at those. Look at those eyes.
She oh my God.
She's really good.
Courtney just taught me this whole Marilyn Monroe move, though, the other day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the triangle look.
Shoot me, baby.
We're quiet. So what I'm doing, what my gaze at Lisa is you look, do a triangle across, like, eye to eye, chin, back up to eye.
Whoa.
Did that work?
My heart rate just skipped at least twice.
Yeah, that's it.
And now it's 10 beats faster.
Yeah.
Works.
You know, she does that a lot in her movies. Now that you say that, like, you can totally,
what it's a sexy
about her.
Look. It's like a, oh, sorry. I can't do it. Like,
no, oh, she totally does it. Like,
I'm going down to your boobs. I need to not
go down there.
And then she, and then if you ever notice Marilyn Monroe,
I'm going
she does
way
that,
down. Sorry, I need to go to your chin.
Typical guy.
And then she has a small eyebrow lift, just a tiny eyebrow lift. She ends it with an eyebrow lift at the very end.
We were talking about this at book club. Yeah. We were laughing so hard. We were like trying to do like.
Oh my God.
I had, like, yeah, so.
Who knew?
So I sometimes get these Instagram things, and then this guy tells you how to date.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun!
So he's like, you do the one, two, one, two, one or something. So if you're trying to like attract somebody across the bar, you have to have like an open sign, like you're open for business.
Okay, she just drew her shoulders back.
Yes, uh-huh. You're open.
She just squared
I'm
up
so
to
good
me, maybe.
At all of this. I have to tell you.
I know I'm it. So she's got this down. You're open. You're not closed. You're like, I am not going to talk. You're like, I am ready. Please approach me. Please approach me. But then you do the, like, you, like, so let's say the guy's over there. You're like, I look at you, one, look away at the person. The guy or whoever you're attracting, you go one, two, one, out into oblivion. So I look at you. Okay, I'm looking at the person I'm looking at. Like we're at the table. I'm talking to you guys. Then I look over to the person. Eye contact. Look back and then up and around. So what is it you're thinking? So Valerie has it down. She's like, oh, I got that. I know how to do that.
I do it a little different.
I was practicing it every time, like Suzanne. We're like, okay, Suzanne's the person you're looking at. I look over and like raise my eyebrows. Every time I looked at Suzanne, I'm like, raise my eyebrows. Like Charlie Chaplin or something. I'm like, hey, I'm open. Eyebrow raise.
That's another thing.
Come hither.
When you're an alpha, you have an Adam's apple I
have to say, like, Adam's apples have never been attractive to me.
No, I don't like it. I'm like,
no.
It's not something that I paid a lot of attention
to. Do you think there are people who like an Adam's apple on a guy? Like a big one?
There are.
I mean, they were like.
They're like on the list of things that are attractive. Like,
well, many men have them.
Tall, big Adam's apple. It's like. Yeah, they're like, a big Adam's apple is also a big you-know-what. Adam's apple and
bow-chicka-bow-wow.
And that's what we're talking about.
So back to the knot.
What's really important.
So what's going to happen? We don't know. So like, they've had the most amazing sex in the world, but to her, it's kind of like a heartbreaking moment because it's really fulfilling, but she doesn't know, like, if she's the one.
Yeah.
He kind of like pushes her away. Is kind of unimpressed after that because you know what? She realizes, well, he's never going to love me. Like
Because I can't be his mate.
And
so,
and there's a whole bunch of interspecies marriages
so
and relationships work.
About where vampire mm-hmm. yeah, lifestyles.
Yeah, so you will have to read
the
book.
Does she save her sister?
Yeah.
Does she save her sister?
Does she find
her friend?
Does she find that?
Well, I call
her. Yes.
Sister her Eric?
Mister.
Her sister friend.
Yeah. Sister, does she her find sister Serena? Eric of a friend.
Do they find a way to get along? No.
Yeah.
She may or may not be his
And
one.
Didn't this marriage only have to technically last for a year to count for the alliance?
We don't know. Was so
married
many questions.
Longer? Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Okay, let's go through our rating
okay.
system.
Would these two people realistically ever get together?
No.
No. There are two species. The only reason they're getting together is because they
alliance.
Have to. Forced alliance.
And I will tell you, what would you do if your dad made you marry someone you hated?
Yeah.
Wouldn't do it.
I mean, some of those arranged marriages work out.
That's actually really true. There's true.
Because Valerie was talking about a bunch of them.
To yeah. love in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who were you saying earlier, Valerie?
Wasn't it Jane Seymour? Didn't she
Wait,
end up?
Jane
Seymour. That's no,
like the actress.
Lady Jane.
She was the one. Her marriage was arranged and stuff too. They both ended up getting, I believe they both ended up getting executed. It was in England and all that stuff. And then so she ended up having to marry the dude. They basically met and yeah. So anyway.
So no, they would not realistically
would
ever get together.
But in real life, let's pretend like this is a werewolf and vampire scenario. And this is Marie Antoinette and whatever.
A million years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. To keep the peace. Sure. We'll
yeah.
do it.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, yeah. obviously, like neither one of them was expecting to be happily ever after.
I don't think in modern day that... This still happens, does it? Maybe it happens.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, I think it does.
It could even be like social media. Like you, some you know, people get their people together because they need.
Oh, they need to form an alliance.
Yeah.
They're networking.
They're networking. They're like, you are a famous athlete and you are a famous singer, so let's get you together.
That is not what happened.
I know it's not. It came to mind. I know.
And then you came to the next
I know. That's not who I meant.
You haven't even listened to the last album, so.
I didn't mean them. It just came to mind.
Yeah.
She was talking about the next book we're reading, the Wiener Across the Way.
Yes, we're going to be reviewing Wiener Across the Way next.
You wanted to think it meant some other superpower singer who's with a really
and it
good
ended
football
up in,
player.
And you know what? It ended up in love. Okay.
Yeah, it yeah. works.
So
and
it
guess
works.
What? If I'm going to rate that, forever.
She's well, like 25 to life, damn
don't
it.
Don't even
damn
talk
it.
About it.
Okay, well, how long were the relationship last?
I mean, in this scenario, like,
well,
they're going to get killed if they don't, so.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, they better
what was
it?
Is it a year, though? I mean, what happens after the year?
I don't know. They never specified. They both kind of made it sound like, okay.
I thought it was a year. I thought they had specified at the beginning of the marriage it would need to last a year.
What do you think, like Mom? How long do you think this relationship shuffle?
Well, I think just based on their attraction to each other was probably... would last. I mean, what else did they have?
You're right.
Yeah, they did.
I mean,
they knew each other.
Yeah, I mean, and it just, you know, the convenience of staying together was
I
good.
Think that type of attraction, though, has a shelf life. Like, you have to put in
Well, I think he showed signs of being a caring person.
And she did, too.
And she did, too. And I think that was something they were discovering together, you know.
And they both weren't used to that, so I think they were like, oh, pleasantly surprised, like, oh, people suck, but you don't. Okay, that's me, and I want to fuck you a lot.
Yeah. Well, even when they weren't doing that, they were finding things in each other.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's true. And they both had each other's people. Like, the fact that she, you know, was protective and willing to sacrifice for his sister was huge.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Let's just talk about their diseases. Like, she can never go out with him during the day. He really likes to sleep at night. Like,
oh,
logistics
gosh, that's
of like
true.
They're just very different.
Okay.
I think in the long term, if I was so different from someone else, it would be such
so much work that after the attraction wore off.
So it's like maybe somebody being like a Catholic and a Jewish.
Yes.
You know, you have two very different.
Almost like vice now.
Well, maybe there was a miracle that occurred somewhere toward the end of the book that we didn't.
So come from very different. But these are not just feelings or beliefs. It's like how they can move around in life.
Well, we also noticed that different, like the wares and the humans who are able to copulate and have children. So who knows?
Well, so that's what I was going to say earlier is how in the world did wares and humans copulate?
Because they're more similar, I guess.
The knot in a human would be devastating.
Yeah, could you imagine?
How does that happen?
It's not, you're thinking it's a watermelon.
It was
it's
the male. Okay.
Okay, Val.
It was the copulations, it was human males who don't have a knot in
women. Oh, nice observation, Val.
Accurate.
No knot. That she's probably going.
Is that a new word?
This is not working for me.
Where's the knot? I was expecting something like that. Like, and
you know, because like, could you imagine being a werewolf and me like, or competing with a werewolf man? You're like, excuse me, we have foreplay, we have the act, and then we have the after knot. And you wouldn't get to the after knot. Can't you just imagine, like, he doesn't even snuggle me. There's no after knot. I mean, like, I don't know how you deal with that.
That would be hard. I mean, you know.
Yeah, just I think logistically, I don't think they're going to last more than 2 years because they're just so different. I don't think that when there are two separate entities that are so different that it's a lot of work to make them work.
Yeah, but there's a lot of political stuff that's going on that they might have to make it work.
Yeah.
So they might, they may work simply because they have to make it work.
Yeah.
So maybe that like lust and stuff dies down, but ultimately it has to work.
But
so
they
they're
could
making
be roommates
work.
For life.
But this could work out well for them because, like, honestly, some people have different expectations within relationships. So maybe they can be passionate when they are able to spend time together. And that's what keeps it interesting for each of them. Yeah. Like, I only share, like half of my awake life. You're not available. And we share half of our life together, but that's okay because you know what? You're getting your crap done that you know, you're being Mr. Alpha and I'm being, you know, Mrs. Computer, Wizard, Vampire, Queen.
Yeah. So it's like, I get my girl time. I have my girlfriends. I do my thing like on my time.
Yeah.
You do your thing. And then in the middle,
we kind of hook up. And, you know, I mean, it's great for childcare because, you know, okay, I'll watch them at night. You watch them during the day.
There you go.
There you go. I mean, there's lots of people who,
I'm
not saying that's going to be like the sexiest relationship or maybe the most intimate, but you know what? That doesn't mean that it has to not work.
Yeah, like if you can never go outside.
I mean, like, let's imagine.
Like, enjoy all the things that he likes to do. And, like, he has to hang out in a dark cave with you when he really likes to be out in the sun.
But you're a superstar singer.
He goes foraging at night.
Yeah, he likes to go on midnight runs.
But how is a super singer, who's traveling all over the world and in love with an amazing football player who's traveling all over the world, how are they going to make their crazy schedules work?
He's not globetrotting.
Okay. How are they going to make that relationship work? And that's going to last 25 to life.
And football season's only like, 6 months?
Half a year. Only half a year.
Yeah.
And then she has to tour the other half.
Not always.
No.
Do they support each other? Does one you tour on the off season and I'll be with you. And then football
and all the traveling and crazy stuff they do. It's hard. I mean, Josie and Colin.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
totally.
They figured out how to make that
work.
They
totally did.
But they have so many things in common.
They do. Mm-hmm.
And they have so many things that bring them together.
That's true. And these guys don't really have that many things in common. She does not sound like she's like, ooh, outdoorsy.
Well, I don't know yet. You know.
Yeah.
You didn't get a very full picture of what.
Yeah. Although you kind of get a little bit of a vibe.
I get enough of a vibe that I'm like, they're not at work.
You know, he like can barely turn a computer on, and she's like,
yeah, he likes to go on these like long like runs, and he's outdoors, and he's like, he's working stuff and doing things.
And she's like, wants to be in a basement in front of a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know? She does not want to be doing any of that
The two of them would never have met. No. Ever.
Yeah.
They don't really have anything in common other than they're really
But then we got to say, like, opposites might work well together.
I think in some ways, but some opposites just are repellent.
Maybe this works. Maybe it helps her
both
with, like,
so
the
overcommitted with other responsibilities that having a quasi-relationship is the most that they could be happy with, because
I can see
it complements their
being
life
that way, but she doesn't really have
much else going on.
No.
That's true.
Nope.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'd leave. She'd end up being miserable and eventually run out.
Seems to me like she was in a process of learning about caring about other people.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
What that little girl that she liked so much, she extended out of her friendship into that little
girl.
So
what do you think? So this is going to be a weird question for you. Do you think, Susan, that if they had a baby together, And she just took on being mom, that would actually make the relationship work?
Yeah, she didn't seem to me to be particularly interested in being a head honcho in any political way.
She passed it over, actually.
There was something different going on in her mind about what she wanted her life to be.
Yeah, do you think that she... I actually think the way that she responded with the little girl, that maybe being a mom would be
well,
the
and she had never felt
compliment.
Any of those feelings before. And it was just so new to her.
So maybe if they had a baby together and she took on being the mother role...
So as long as they have a kid in their life, they're okay.
Yeah, and then they can, well, that's still 25 years, so.
Yeah, that sucks.
If
that
would have been, it would be a novelty for them to have a child together, because we haven't, in what we heard, we hadn't seen that coupling.
Do you see that
as a child?
Like in relationships, like they're really not getting along, but they're like, oh, let's just have another kid and that'll be enough.
Hey, that's why I was born.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you see that, and it's like that. That's not fair to a kid.
But we're so happy you were.
Yeah.
I was totally... So my mom had left my dad. Yeah. And he convinced her to come back. And part of her coming back was have another baby. And that was me. And of course, while she was still pregnant with me, she was like, I fucked up. She knew she was leaving him before I was even born. She's like, I just got to get you born and get through the first, like, get to where I can figure out my life. So, yeah. So then my mom was out of there before I was a year old.
So did you grow up with your dad?
No. He was up in Alaska, and then we came down to Spokane. I was born in Alaska.
So how spicy was this novel?
I mean, it definitely was.
It was like a habanero, maybe. Four?
Yeah.
It's a habanero. It's
yeah, there was.
It was it. And for the record, 2 years.
It did. Okay. She's going to say 2 years.
Well, I don't know what you guys said.
I would say two years unless they have a baby, and then they'll.
But that's not.
Okay, you guys aren't going to be surprised. 25 to life. Ever the optimistic.
I'm just basing it on what happened in the story and not like what could happen. Because we don't know that.
Get pregnant, I think I would say probably 4 years.
Yeah, well, we don't know what that all looks like. You know, they could be mates, but it could be.
And she doesn't even have the capacity for that.
Yeah.
She's
cold-blooded. Could be one way. It could
and
be
that's
one
another
way.
Reason when... why I'm like 2 years, because it's like, dude, if you're on a one-way street, ugh, that's just too hard.
Yeah, that's true.
So hard.
Okay, so Bob and Belle, how long would you?
25 to life.
Yeah, I'm for that. Yeah. This way you talk about him, it is so sweet.
True love. The perfect romance. Okay, well, I say habanero. This was pretty spicy.
It was.
Not quite ghost, but it was.
It was.
Who would you recommend it to?
Ooh.
People who like if you are if you like werewolf, if you like, you know, the species, you know, stuff like that, I think you'd like this one. To be quite honest, I have read a lot of kind of, you know, like Vampire Slayer and werewolfy type books.
I would never have known.
I've read Twilight.
I read quite a few of this. Well, no, like I
did it. It spurred you into a whole realm. Like,
no, I read them all
before you were into vampires.
Yeah. Like I like Anne Rice, Vampire Slayer.
Well, I have to say, like, I love Anne Rice. I loved that series. And then I really didn't get in. I wasn't a vampire reader.
I just combined two series with that. So,
well, I loved Anne Rice.
Oh yeah, in the vampires. Yeah,
couldn't get enough of it. Wanted to be a vampire.
Did she have a weird goth phase?
No.
No, I was ultra preppy.
No, you were not.
You tell me, what was I?
You changed from thing to thing. You were a little chameleon in a way.
Come on.
I can just fit in anywhere.
Yeah,
you can. Obviously. You still can.
Yeah.
Well, I was whatever. I was a chameleon.
Yeah.
But secretly, I wanted to be a vampire.
Well, that was probably the problem.
That thought never crossed my mind in my life.
I wanted to be a vampire.
But I'm like, make sure I cut my fingernails and have my hair cut the right way. Because Anne Rice, when you become a vampire, that's what you are.
Yes.
Like, if you have long fingernails, you have long fingernails.
You're stuck with those forever.
I know. That's exactly. I was like, oh my God, these people didn't even get the prep time. Like, I'm like,
I know.
I would like, okay, I need to go on it. Like, health kick. Like, okay, so if I was going to become a vampire in Anne Rice style, I seriously was like, okay, you need to give me 2 months because I want to make sure everything is sculpted. I want to get my skin just right. I want to cut my hair the way I like it. I'm going to make sure I go see Courtney.
Get my nails cut. The ultimate thing I kept going, I would not want
long nails, huh?
Long toenails. That would be awful.
Could you imagine having to cut your toenails every day?
Every day?
Yeah.
Or they become like what if you became a vampire in like Neanderthal days and you had like these crazy long toenails?
So true. My gosh.
All right, so back to who would we recommend this to?
I would recommend this to people maybe who like vampire werewolf novels.
Yeah. But you guys were giving us a habanero rating. And really, when you get into like the total fae fantasy books and the like real, like this is like not spicy at all compared to a lot of those things. Like, especially like sometimes you get into these fairy sex scenes where you're just like, what the hell is even going on?
Yeah, but the thing that she
we
did
should read one of those just to have comparison.
It was realistic. Like she did a lot of sensory details.
She really was great.
And so that's what makes it spicy because it's realistic. Whereas like a weird random fairy sex scene.
Yeah, some of
those. It's like,
those aren't. Yeah.
Are we sticking with habanero number 4?
So is this relevant? Do you guys feel like this is important? Did we learn anything?
No, but you're not supposed to.
It's supposed to be just like a fun read.
Entertained.
I thought the sex parts of it were funny. Weird.
I was not turned on by the sex
language. Was so funny.
Like I said, we were laughing
so hard.
So hard. I mean, we were trying to just paint. I'm like rolling the ceiling.
But you
if some like crazy sex scene came on, I'd just keep rolling and I'd look at my mom and like, we could not stop laughing.
I don't know.
Just
I mean,
what you want to go through with your mother is listening to crazy sex scenes.
I think the sex scenes were well written. They were well written. She did a very good job for sensuality and stuff like that, but like, I wasn't turned on.
No. You didn't want to go Mount Bob.
That sounds terrible.
That does sound, but.
I was going with the genre of the book, okay?
Sticking with the terms.
God, that poor man puts up with me so much. I am like cheesy one-liner girl all the time with him. I'm all like, hey, what you doing? Oh, that poor man.
What was our favorite line in that one book?
I fuck like Thor.
That will forever be my favorite line.
I don't. It's going to be hard for any other book to surpass
thank
that
you,
line.
Colleen, who
I'm gonna.
That
I'm. Yes. I'm gonna tell. I'm gonna make sure to incorporate that into this weekend. Fuck me like Thor.
Ooh, I love it.
I'm totally gonna do it. I'll report back to you.
Okay. Okay, let me tell me what he goes. Says. He's like, then he'll fuck like Thor. He's like, oh, you're on. You got it.
Thor, I got him down.
I got Thor.
Bob will just look at me, shake his head, and laugh and says, you hung out with the girls again, didn't you? I'm like, yes, now fuck me like Thor.
Yeah, do what I'm asking now. All right. Well, it was a good book.
Yeah, it was
for
good
Halloween.
Book.
For Halloween.
It was a great Halloween
book. It was
book.
A good October.
You know what? I would love our listeners to please write in and give us some ideas for next Halloween. What are your paranormal favorite spooky holiday Halloween-y?
Or do we want to do like a horror romance?
Would be
something
good
dark.
Like
not necessarily paranormal. Yeah. No. I want to get away from fantasy paranormal.
Well, what does that look like? What is that?
I don't know.
But okay, well,
like Wuthering Heights or
okay.
I think it's fairly dark.
Well, maybe haunted housey. Maybe
I don't know. My Spokane Book Club read some really weird, haunty, like, but there's a love story thrown in there. And my God, these are like,
huh? You know.
We'll see. We'll see.
So please write us.
Yeah. So
tell us some ideas.
PerfectRomance.com, mm-hmm. And you can reach out to us.
Because I feel like now we've done like two werewolfy kind of.
Yeah,
we need
I'm
something different.
I'm over those. Yeah. Yeah.
So give us some new
ideas,
please.
Yeah, and then, yeah if you want to reach out to us, if you want to be interviewed, yeah, it's all
yeah.
there. We'd
yeah.
love to hear.
Yeah, Lisa, where do they find us?
PerfectRomance.com.
Yeah.
Do you have to do a www? There's an actual movie called My Perfect Romance.
What?
Yeah,
so
you didn't
I think
know that.
If you just Google it, it goes to the movie. But so you have to put in www.myperfectromance.com.
Okay.
To actually find
we're
it.
We're not the movie. Isn't we're the podcast.
Crazy? Yeah, we're the podcast, not the movie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, so, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.